really this week is that everything in the eighth chapter of Acts is about going and telling, going and spreading the gospel. While the church was being persecuted, as they were ran out of their homes and in that city of Jerusalem, and they scattered out, the church itself went telling the gospel everywhere they went. And then Philip goes down to Samaria and preaches the gospel there, and many, many are saved. And now we read about Peter and John coming, and now today about this one man that Philip is sent to. And he comes to know Christ, and as a result of him coming to know Christ, this Ethiopian, there is still a strong church in Ethiopia today. And so God is telling us in this part of Acts all about telling the gospel, going and telling the story of Jesus. So start reading with me there in verse 26. It says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road.' He got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch and high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on the way home reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go and join that chariot.' When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone guides me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this: 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. And who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?' And Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?' So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip appeared in Azotus, or Ashdod is another name for the city, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you're a great God, and you command us, and as part of your work and as your children, to go and tell, to plant seed everywhere that we go. And we, Lord, we can never see a harvest if we don't plant seed and we don't do the work you give us. So, Father, I pray for that. I pray that you give us understanding of your word today. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, this is a chapter about going and telling, and I wanted to share just a couple of things with you today. I did see a cartoon of a boy that was sitting in church with his dad, and the pastor was preaching, and he said, "Now I'm almost finished." And the boy leaned over to his dad and said, "What does that mean?" The dad said, "Absolutely nothing." So that's true of a lot of preachers. Can be true of me. But I'm not almost finished yet, so I won't tell you that story. But I want you to see something today. This idea of going and telling, there's something very important we need to understand. It takes obedience that's demonstrated by effort and trust. We would all love to snap our fingers or kneel and pray or do whatever we would like to do along those lines, wish and hope, for the community to just show up here and the church be full and everything be thriving and great. It's good now, but it can be so much more full, and so we can reach so many more people for Christ. And we would all love to see that. But God didn't say, step back and just watch what I'm doing. He said, watch what I'm doing as you do the work I tell you to do. It takes, to be obedient to God takes effort. To be obedient to, well, think about Philip here. Philip was in Samaria, this region that is above Judea, above Jerusalem. It's between Judea and Galilee, if you look at a map. And God told him to get up from where he was at, to go walk past Jerusalem, the city that he had just left because of the persecution, by the way, and go down to the desert road that leads to Gaza. And we're not sure where Philip met this man on that road, but Philip had a day or two at least of walking. He got up and left and did exactly what God told him to do. He had to get himself there. God did take him at the end of this from wherever they were over to Gaza, to Ashdod, the land that used to be the Philistine land. And God just picked him up and put him there. But that's not the greatest miracle by any means in this story. What God told Philip to do didn't make any sense either. Because Philip was preaching and people were being saved daily, at least by the dozens. But this area of this land of Samaria was being led to Christ. Philip had, God had used him in such a way that so many people were being saved. The church was building there in Samaria that Peter and John were sent to check it out and to not just to make sure everything was right, but to pull them into the fellowship and to begin teaching. And so now God says to Philip, okay, everything is going great here, leave. Get up and go to this road where that is a desert road where there is only one man and probably his caravan of people that were with him. He was a wealthy man, so he would have had people that were with him. He probably had a guard. There's another miracle that Philip could get close enough to that chariot if this man had a guard. They wouldn't have let him get too close to that, but he hears him reading Isaiah and says, what are you reading? And he's tells him Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand it? No, Philip said, scoot over. And you know, jumped up in the chariot and began telling him all about, from that scripture, all about Jesus. He had to go. And he had to trust God that God was telling him the right thing to do. Because everybody that would have looked at Philip, by any means, Philip, the campaign that he had there in Samaria was a tremendous success. If somebody came to you and said, we're going to New York City and we're going to just park in the street, we're going to set it up and we're going to preach, and people are going to come and thousands of people are going to get saved, would you say that sounds like a great plan, go ahead? Or there's a lot of stuff you need to think about before you do that. That's never going to work. But Billy Graham did it. You say, that was the 50s. Well, it was the 50s, but it was New York City. And time is time, folks. Any time is, there are lost people. And they, if I'm not mistaken, they extended that from maybe 8 or 10 days to, I think it ran about 16 weeks, I want to say. He ran out of sermons. Had to start writing new sermons every day before he preached them that night. God did something amazing through him. And if you think about us today, we've got this thing called the Festival of Hope that's coming up, and it's absolutely incredible. What God has already done through this, what he's going to do through it tonight as the restart rally begins, what he's going to do through it the 20th, September 20th through the 23rd. I believe God is going to do something that we've never seen before. But if we don't do the work between now and then, there's been a tremendous amount of work done up till now. You can ask Christy Witcher about that. She's been helping with volunteering and helping with the admin teams and helping them contact churches. The tremendous amount of work being done. But between now and September 20th, if we do nothing, do you know what we can expect? Nothing. If we do very little, we can expect very little. But if we'll be obedient to God and put the effort out and trust Him, you'll be amazed what God does. I believe we'll be amazed. Wednesday nights, people have been asking how it went Wednesday night. It went great. We didn't have the kids that we would have loved to have had there. But we're going to have more this week. And we're going out tomorrow night. I should have announced that. But we're going to meet here about 6 o'clock tomorrow night, anybody that can, and go over to Cimarron Park and be able to go through there and invite a lot of people to Wednesday nights. And we're going to pick some other areas over the next several weeks and invite people. I'm going to have a calling list put together with 10 or 15 names on it that you can pick up and take with you and call those families and invite them for our Wednesday night meals, invite them to church, people that have been on campus this summer and guests here. There's a lot of work already put into it, but a lot of work left to do. And God's going to bless that and honor that. And if we believe that and we trust Him, trust is another word for faith, isn't it? But when I say have faith, what we tend to think is, okay, we sit back and God's going to do the work. No, God gave us work to do. God gave us something here to do. And that obedience to God requires effort. You're going to be given someone to share the gospel with. If you'll ask God, give me somebody to share with this week, God will give you somebody to share with this week. And what can very easily happen, because it's happened to me quite a few times, is God will say, there's the person. And you'll say, okay, God, but it's not a good time right now. Or this, am I sure I heard you right? And walk away from it. But if we'll put the effort in, you'll be amazed what God will do. Philip was amazed at what God did. And I'm going to touch on something a little shorter point here. Telling people about Jesus often takes, and I could probably change that to always takes, a conversation that's going to involve questions. People don't know about Jesus today. Many, many people don't know about Jesus. Probably the majority of people in our nation don't know about Christ. And you say, well, maybe that's New York City, or that's Seattle, or that's some of these other places. No, it's Gratis. It's Monroe and Walton County. There are so many people that need to hear about Jesus, that need to understand the gospel, but they're going to ask questions as you begin to talk with them. And everybody in here just said, oh, I can't do questions. Yeah, I might could go through a tract, but questions, I don't want to answer questions. But look at this for a moment. The questions are what led into the gospel. Philip asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? There in verse 30, the man said, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? And he invited Philip to come up. And then it says, verse 35, Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. And I love the next question. There's water. What prevents me from being baptized? People are going to ask questions. And I want you to understand something. As believers in Christ, if I know what Christ has done, I don't say this to condemn, but to encourage, but if I know what Christ has done in me, then I should be able to tell you what Christ has done in me. If He's done it in me, He'll do it in you. If we are not able to answer some of the simple questions about faith and about salvation, we're lacking in our discipleship. And if the church has not taught you that, we're lacking in our work of making disciples. Now, there are T-shirts that I have seen that one T-shirt I really liked and almost ordered said, it has been in the bulletin for the last 3 weeks. On the front of it. So just that you hadn't heard it doesn't mean we haven't said it. But if you're lacking, not the confidence, but the knowledge to answer some of those questions and deal with some of those questions, there's something missing there in your discipleship. And that's where some effort should be put in and trust be put in so that Christ can do his work of growing you in righteousness, making you more and more like him. What amazes me, the disciples took 3 years with Jesus, and the night that Jesus was arrested, they still acted like they didn't know anything. But when you see the church in Acts, 2 years into the history of the church, they're under persecution, and as they go, they're all telling people about Jesus everywhere they went. The difference is the Holy Spirit. The difference is the Spirit of God in us, and we have been given all that we need. So, beginning with the Scriptures, what do I tell somebody about coming to know Jesus? Well, turn in your Bibles, and I want everybody to pick your Bible up. There may be one, should be one close to you, in front of you, in the pew. Pick your Bible up and turn it to Romans chapter 3. If you don't mind marking in your Bible, and you don't have these verses underlined or circled, I would encourage you to do that today as we go through them. What we're looking at is called the Romans Road. And the first thing that we tell somebody about coming to know Jesus is that we are all in the same boat. I am a sinner saved by grace. You're a sinner in need of God's grace. If I didn't have His grace, I'd be where you are, and somebody would need to tell me about it. We're all in the same boat. And Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That word all, what do you think the definition of the word all is? All. I hate it when I go to the Greek dictionaries. I look up the Greek word that's translated all, and the definition in the dictionary is all. I want to know something else about it. It's giving me what's there, and it means what it means. Everybody who will believe in Jesus will be saved. And that's the very simple thing. It's not that we're pointing out to somebody, you're a bad person and you need to be saved. It's that we're all separated from God and we need to be saved. We all fall short. But take your Bible and turn over to chapter 5 and verse 8. And if you don't have anything to mark your Bible with, or a good way to do that, or you don't want to mark in your Bible, I would encourage you to take a picture of this. And I apologize for the smaller lettering. We don't have a new program, but they've updated it, and I'm getting the font sizes seem to be different in there, so I'm getting used to that. But Romans 5:8, take a picture of this is what I was going to say. And when you go home, you can put some sticky notes in your Bible or something like that and mark that out. But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Romans 5:8 tells us about the depth of God's love for you and for me. He says there that, but God proves His own love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The depth of God's love is not that when you cleaned up your act and got things a little bit better, that Christ died for you. Not that when you put out some effort, Christ died for you. But while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. You know, the amazing thing I realized about this story of Philip was everywhere Philip went was nations that were enemies of Israel. Samaria and the Jews just couldn't stand each other. And then Philip was brought after this over into the city of Azotus or Ashdod, which were those cities through that part of the coast were where the Philistines all were in the Old Testament. That land was for all of their existence until other nations came in and conquered all these nations. They were the enemy of Israel. And now Philip is preaching the gospel all the way up the coast. That's how God deals with enemies. He tells them the gospel, and they come to know Him, and they're changed. God demonstrated His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have a choice. Every person has a choice, and the choice is between my efforts, what I can do on my own, and the gift of God. And God tells us my efforts lead to death, separation from God. But the gift of God leads to life. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a pretty simple concept. All three of these are pretty simple to understand, aren't they? We're all sinners. God loves you more than you could imagine. And there's a choice that we have to make here between what I want to do to please God, which I can't do apart from Him, or what God will give me in that eternal life. I don't want to keep working on something that is not going to work. I was doing some work to repair a door yesterday. Needed to cut a new spline for it. It's a cheap interior door. But where the hinges go. And I took a 2x4 and I ran it through my table saw and I cut it out and I was getting ready to put it in. But as I did, there was a big knot in the middle of it and it just broke in half. And the first thing that crossed my mind was, I can glue that back together and I can put another piece up under it. Or I can just throw this away and cut another piece that doesn't have a knot in it. And that's what I did. We don't want to keep spinning our wheels. Why would we do that when God has given us a gift that is, it gives us eternal life? And so how do I get to that point of telling somebody how to believe in Jesus? Well, turn over to chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10:9. Here's how to be saved. If you confess with your mouth, and I'm going to back up and read about half of the of verse 8 there. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be or probably will, but you will be saved. This is how we do that. What does that mean to confess with your mouth? Well, that means that publicly, we have made up our mind that publicly we are willing to tell everybody that we are believers in Jesus. I now stand with Jesus. You say, well, that's not that hard to do in our culture. It's getting a little harder, but it's not hard to do. But think about people in Iran or China, or Russia when it was communist, and other places like that that made that decision that they were going to stand and say, I believe in Jesus. I have made a decision that I'm turning from my old life and I'm going with Him. Confess, and I believe in Christ. And I believe in my heart. The heart is the center of the being, center of your being. It's everything that you are. I believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Therefore, I believe He's paid the price for my sins. And I'm going to follow Him. And if somebody wants to do that, you can ask them just simply to do that. To say a simple prayer. You can lead them in a prayer at this point. And it's amazing what God will do. And you don't have to have all the right words. You can say, you can lead somebody in a prayer that just says, Lord, I want to be saved. Will you save me? And God will do that work. But down a few verses, here's the promise of God. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There are some that I disagree with pretty strongly that say that God has chosen some to be saved and some not to be saved. I can't square this verse with that thought. in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, they say that means everybody. And in this verse, everyone doesn't mean everybody. It just means the chosen. That's not the way God does things. God doesn't make somebody just to throw them away. If he did, we'd all be in the trash. But God has said everybody, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's the gospel in a nutshell. But it's the full gospel, and it is laid out for us in this book of Romans. And I would encourage you, if you take your Bible and mark it in your Bible, grab you a paperback New Testament and mark it in it. You can buy a lot of the New Testaments that are already marked with the Romans Road. I bought some a little while back for the church to be able to go through this and have you mark these paperback New Testaments, but they were about that tall and about that wide, and I had to put on 3 pair of glasses and use a magnifying glass to see the text in there. So the children get those Bibles, and we're passing those out to them. But it was tiny. But you'll be nervous. People are nervous. Let me put it this way. Have you ever seen people go to the beach and you see people get in these giant slingshots where they pull you back and they shoot you out and you stay in the seat and you don't go flying out, but it goes back and forth and back and forth. Or they get up on a high cliff somewhere or a high platform and jump off with a bungee cord tied to them. And people are nervous when they do that, and they do something dumb like that. I don't know why you would want to do that. This is not dumb. This has a purpose. You can go and talk to somebody about Jesus. And it is a conversation. And they're going to ask questions. Now, when somebody starts getting off in the weeds with their questions, try to bring them back to the gospel. If you don't know the answer to a question, the best answer you can give is, I don't know. But if you'll come to church with me Sunday, we'll ask the pastor, and he might know. Or he'll find out. But just talk. And then you've got the gospel right there laid out to be able to walk them through exactly what it means to believe in Jesus. And it's the scripture. It's not somebody else's idea. Not somebody else's thoughts on this. It's God's Word. And there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. I've told you about the man that W.A. Criswell was pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas for about 50 years. And he took him 17 years. He preached through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And he did it Sunday morning and Sunday nights. And he was preaching. He knew that Sunday morning was going to be an evangelistic message, and he had a man that he had talked with and invited to church, and the man acted like he was going to come. He knew he was lost. The man didn't show up on Sunday morning, and he was kind of down about it, but came back Sunday night, and the man walked in, and he said, Lord, I'm in the begets. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and then he died, and so-and-so begat, and he said, let me change this message and be able to preach an evangelistic sermon. And God wouldn't let him change the message. But at the end of the message, the man came and accepted Christ. And Dr. Criswell asked him afterwards, what was it about that message that spoke to you? And the man said, everybody in that list you read died. I figured I was going to too. So I might ought to get saved. It was a true story. And the scriptures will speak like we can. And the Spirit of God will work. And it may be that you're here today and you've heard that gospel and you realize, I haven't believed that. I haven't done that. I haven't confessed in my mouth and turned from my old self to Christ. I haven't truly believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead and that I'm banking everything on the payment of my sin from Jesus. You can do exactly what we've talked about today and trust Jesus. and you come to know Him, and He will save you immediately. Don't leave here today if you've got doubts about that without talking with me or with somebody about it. And there is somebody that God, I believe, has placed in your mind that needs to hear the gospel. Go and share that with them this week. You say, well, the crusade is coming up in about a month, and we can do that then. But here's the thing. If you go and lead somebody to faith in Christ, and they're excited about what Jesus has done for them, where you might have brought that one person to the crusade, they may bring 10 people with them. And they're going to tell people about Jesus. And I can guarantee you, you won't get over it when you lead somebody to faith in Christ. There's work we've been given to do. And it's not all done on a church visitation night. But it's done as we go. However Christ is dealing with you today, about whatever it is, I'm going to be here as we sing this invitation song. Be obedient to Christ. If you need to come and pray for yourself, come do that. If you need to come and pray for somebody that's lost, please do that. If you want to talk to me about salvation, come down and talk with me about it. We're not going to embarrass you, anything like that, but we want you to know Jesus. So whatever He's leading you to do today, do that. Father, thank You for Your word, for this simple truth. And Lord, I pray that it is a fact in all of our lives. We trusted You. Lord, I pray that You put in our hearts and encourage each one of us to go out and tell others about You and what You've done for us. Lord, we'll give You thanks and praise. In Your name we pray. Amen. Y'all stand if you would.